He showed them his hands and his side. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On this third day, the third and last great day of the Feast of Easter, we celebrate the fourth of the Easter Masses, which finds us in spirit still, I think, in the upper room. The doors locked, not for fear, but for love. We await our Lord's coming, but we lock the doors out of prudence for fear of the Jews here symbolizing the whole of our modern culture and all of that which is worldly and dissipated and skeptical, lest somehow it get in and make us to be fearful and make us to lose the graces of Lent. And as a matter of fact, I think for some souls, the great risk is losing in 1 week all of the graces won so slowly over the long weeks of Lenten penance. So we want to be with our Lord, and we want out of prudence then to lock the doors. It was the angels first, the first two Masses, Saturday and Sunday. It was the angels who preached to us and showed us Christ risen. Yesterday we went to St. Peter's Basilica, the Prince of the Apostles, who is the great saint of humility and penitence. He preached to us Christ risen. And now today we go outside of Rome's walls to the great basilica of St. Paul. Today is, you might say, the Mass of the Stigmatics. Stigmata, the wounds of Christ. St. Paul says, I bear the stigmata Christi, the wounds of Christ. He is the great preacher and the preeminent teacher of the whole Catholic Church. And that makes us to think as well, and for more than one reason, of St. Francis, who stays now in the background a bit, but is very much present still, like a statue in the corner of a church. And then our Blessed Savior himself, he is the one who, as a teaching tool, not only speaks and explains, but he shows his wounds. Now, we stay exactly with St. Luke today because we like Luke, and he tells a wonderful story. And just where it stopped yesterday in the Gospel, it picks up again. But remember this about St. Luke. He's a little bit loose about his pronouns, the commentators say. You see that in the story of the finding of the child Jesus in the temple. They understood not that which was said unto them. Some commentators say, well, that refers to the bystanders and not to Our Lady and to St. Joseph. Of course, they understood. So, too, we wonder who is it who was contraritus et contrabatus, who was troubled and terrified even when our Lord appeared in the upper room. Luke and Cleophas make haste, they almost run from Emmaus all the way back to Jerusalem, and they're just finishing telling their story, and the apostles are discussing it with them when our Lord appears, and then Luke says that they were, or he was perhaps, troubled, astonished, and frightened. Then our Lord, as the teacher, takes over. He uses every means possible, flesh and blood. He said, look, ghosts don't have flesh and blood. And then, like a teacher casting about for an example, he says, do you have anything to eat? He asks for a plate this time. He uses food. And so they give him a little bit of broiled fish, symbol of Christ, and honeycomb, the symbol of the graces of baptism. And he eats in front of them, and having eaten, he gives them what's left over, a Eucharistic symbolism. Because it's not just, remember, St. Luke is always insisting, it's not just in teaching about the scriptures, it's actually in receiving the sacraments that our faith is strengthened and perfected. But then, nevertheless, he's a teacher now, and then he goes back over the Old Testament, Moses and the prophets, and just as he did with the disciples on the road earlier in the day of Easter, in the afternoon, now with the rest of the apostles in the upper room, he explains everything very slowly with them. And then, of course, as I say, he shows them his stigmata, the wounds in his hands, in his feet, and in his side. And he says, touch them, see them. And then with the food, taste it. Our Lord is giving, you might say, every possible explanation to the apostles so that they won't be upset and terrified and frightened anymore. Not for fear of the Jews, not for their own doubts and ignorance. But the perfection is not there yet. You see, already at the beginning of Easter, we're longing for Pentecost. And now St. Luke's Gospel comes to an end with the story. There's a very brief account of the Ascension, and that's it. And he says, the Father's going to give you graces. He's going to send the Holy Ghost to you. And then all of this will make sense, and then you'll understand. But they don't do it, not yet, not quite. There's still that reluctance, and there's still that fear. But our Lord, for his part, like a good teacher, an indulgent teacher, is a bit like someone who, at the final exam, throws out so many hints, he's almost giving the students their answers. But this is why the penny doesn't quite drop yet, because it's the Holy Ghost who's going to make the difference, and that's going to give us the rest of the story. We are, whether locked safely in the recollection of the cenacle, the upper room with the Lord at Holy Mass, or out there in the world in the streets of Jerusalem someplace, we are always to recognize our Lord when he comes. And he'll usually give us all sorts of hints and many, many helps and explanations. And sometimes we'll be able to see, and other times hear, and other times taste the sacraments, the five senses, at the service of our faith and of our Savior. On the day of our death, at the particular judgment, our Lord will no longer come to us, but we will go to him. And then we'll recognize everything, won't we? Whether it be with a delighted awe or a very rueful regret. And we'll say, was that you then, Lord? Was that you? The insistence of our Lord, St. Paul and St. Francis in particular, to see our Lord in the least of his brethren and in all of these situations in our life, that a presence of our Lord you could almost reach out and touch or taste, see, and hear. Yes, that was our Lord. He never left us, and he always waits for us to recognize him. We should no longer be frightened, and nothing should terrify us. We should be filled with that holy faith, which is the gift of Easter, and of course is perfected by the Holy Ghost at Pentecost. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.